See, I'm not good with the segues like you.
Running away.
Yeah, so
how about
running?
Running away. The fight. Oh, this works. The fight or flight.
Yeah.
Response. That's what
fight
horses generally do. They will fight or flight, and flight is the first thing they do.
No, that's good. And fear of being put out to pasture. Also, when the crudities of life have made the light behind your eyes extinguish, that kind of thing.
And what happens to men when that starts to happen? They tend to want to go to
Las Vegas. Uncertain. Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? Uncertain.
I can't think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. Uncertain.
You can't handle the truth.
Uncertain. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together.
Do you feel lucky?
That's all.
Come on up and see me sometime.
Oh. Las Vegas, 2013, right? So 10 years ago.
10 years ago.
I'm trying to be better about this just before we get into this. Although I have, I saw it on Netflix. So, you know, good news, bad news, right? I saw it on Netflix, bad news. It is not going to be on Netflix at the first of the year, and this will surely broadcast well after that. So good luck finding it.
I rented it from Apple TV.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have Netflix?
I don't have Netflix. No, I'm one of those rotators.
Interesting.
I watch everything I want on one thing and then I get rid of it. And the only one I subscribe to consistently is the Criterion Channel.
See, you are so that person. You are so good about that. I just feel like I don't know, because, you know, you live alone. I have a wife and we have to kind of navigate what our interests are. And sometimes things can get a little heavy for my wife. So sometimes the Criterion Channel doesn't seem like, hey, let's watch Death play chess. You know, maybe that's not her vibe, right?
How about all the classics, Bringing Up Baby and, you know, Desk Set.
Is that on the Criterion?
Yeah, they go through all of them. There's tons of old comedies on there.
I also have like dozens of Criterion DVDs just because I like owning the media, even though if I don't always play them. But anyway, Las Vegas. Okay, so Las Vegas, 2013, I saw it on Netflix. It tells the story of four aging friends, senior citizens, Billy, Patty, Archie, and Sam.
Look at you all good with reunite the character names.
right. I wrote those down. who reunite for a Las Vegas bachelor party because Billy, and I'll get into this, the circumstances, finds himself proposing to a much younger girlfriend, half his age, I think, at least, maybe even less than half his age. And despite their years of friendship, the four of them realize they're no longer the young men that they were when they met 58 years prior. And they have to grapple with that in a variety of ways. There's each of the characters is kind of dealing with their own perspective on what it means to be an older person. And now I'll get to the actors, because that's pretty much the reason for this movie. If it didn't have these actors, I don't think we would be talking about it. But Michael Douglas plays Billy, who's getting married to the much younger woman. Robert De Niro, who's a name you might be familiar with. Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline, and as the female, the love interest is Mary Steenburgen. So yeah, if only they could have gotten known actors for this movie, right? But it starts out with a flashbook. They call themselves the Flatbush Four. So 50 years ago, there was an incident where they band together. It involves stealing a bottle of bourbon or whiskey. And then we quickly flash forward to how they are now in the current age. And we meet Kevin Kline, who's living with his wife in Florida, doing pool aerobics. He's kind of the quippy one. Morgan Freeman lives in Birmingham with his son, who is kind of smothering in a sweet way, but is basically controlling his father because he's worried that his father will have another stroke. And so, I don't know, Morgan might be the loyal one. And then you have Robert De Niro, who's a widower living in Brooklyn, has a young neighbor who's trying to set him up with her grandmother. He's not into it. He's still grieving the loss of his wife, Sophie, who died about a year ago. So he's kind of the bitter one. And then we have Michael Douglas, who's the mover, shaker. He basically is playing Michael Douglas. He's a mover and shaker in L.A. He has a young, super young girlfriend. Morgan Freeman, I think, says that he's had hemorrhoids at his almost her age, right? And he's giving a eulogy to some friend. And during the eulogy, he kind of stumbles into proposing to his girlfriend at the funeral. And then is kind of locked into that because he's done so in such a public fashion. And so he's kind of the flaky one, right? So anyway, that's the sort of, that's the plot gimmick that gets them together again after so many years. They all want to have that kind of last hurrah. And so they're going to go to Vegas, baby, going to go for this bachelor party. And they all have certain reasons why they're going. I think one of the more interesting ones, though, is Kevin Kline's wife, when she drops him off at the airport, gives him a card that has a Viagra and a condom in it. And she basically says, this is kind of connects us to the horse metaphors earlier, that the light has gone out of his eyes and she wants her old husband back. And so she's like, do whatever is necessary for you to find that light again. Just don't tell me about it. And so that kind of sets him off. We might get more into that later, but that's my setup. It's kind of like Ocean's 11 without the heist.
Yeah, or I thought it was kind of more like it's an old guy's hangover and or grumpy old men meets the bucket list.
Totally. There was a lot of grumpy, yes, that's great. Because there was, I noticed a lot of grumpy old manisms because they even call each other like prick, asshole. They have that kind of
yes,
banter
exactly.
going. So
I
just thought,
mentioned that too.
Golly. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Flatbush Four, living out their fantasies. You know, this is not a deep plot. And as I said, we've seen this before in so many different incarnations. But it's like you said, it's the actors in these roles. And they are fun to watch. They're on script. None of them is playing anything outlandish. We've even seen Robert De Niro play many a comic role very well. And I do love him when he's doing comedy.
Yeah.
So there are no surprises.
No.
Were you surprised at all about anything that happened in this movie? That's kind of the point, yeah?
Yeah, I guess so. I felt like it flirted with some themes that could have been mined more deeply, especially the relationship between Michael Douglas's and Robert De Niro's character, because they have a very painful relationship, a painful history. I felt like if this was an indie film in the 90s with older character actors who we may or may not know their names, maybe that would have gone a little deeper and been more nuanced and interesting. But yeah, I think that if we're going to get to our craw, that would be my issue. I felt like it kind of skirted along some things. It kind of touched lightly on a lot of, you know, valid and interesting older person concerns, but it was afraid to really commit to anything. And I got the sense that like even when they all say goodbye at the end, it's basically just okay. I felt like some of the pairings, like Kevin Kline and Morgan Freeman seemed to have maybe a little connection. I didn't really feel it with De Niro and Michael Douglas. I don't know. I felt like we were watching a bunch of actors who probably respect each other, but I never really felt like they had 58 years of a friendship behind them.
Right. Getting to a previous movie we reviewed, moving on with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, their relationship, those two women have known each other for 52 years and right. been friends. So when they appeared together as Grace and Frankie, or in Moving On as Claire and Evelyn, or in even 80 for Brady, spare us, they just seem like they know each other. They're comfortable with each other. And you're right. Mm-hmm. This didn't feel it here in this movie. Billy, played by Michael Douglas, is sort of an anomaly in the foursome. It wasn't right. clear when they were boys, when we got to see them 58 years ago, that he was such an anomaly. But he's the one that went the farthest. He's the one that did
became the most successful, made the most money, never married.
Right.
And I guess the shift in towards the end of the film when he's like, we're old, I'm old, is his realization that he can't keep faking it.
No, totally. And why he was kind of rationalizing why he was with this young woman. It's just he was afraid that if he didn't have her around, he would just suddenly feel his years. And I thought that was kind of an interesting insight, because a lot of times we sort of like quietly villainize, you know, the man who is with someone much younger. And I think, and most of the time that's valid, but I thought it was interesting to get that reasoning. And it kind of made me think like, okay, I sort of get that. Someone who's so afraid of mortality that they need to surround themselves with this youthful energy as a distraction.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting moment.
I got proposed to.
Congratulations.
When I was 50, when I was about 50, I got proposed to by an 80-year-old guy.
Oh.
For this same reason.
Oh, okay.
He did not want to have no one taking care of him.
Right.
But I knew he didn't love me.
Oh.
You know?
Wow.
So this whole movie is a violation of the CAC index, listener. The CAC index, again, is casting appropriateness, age appropriateness.
Well,
appropriateness.
It?
And it's well, that's kind of the point. Las Vegas is, you know, there's a lot of beautiful, youngish women mm-hmm. with a lot of enhancements, I'll say.
Sure.
And that's sort of the draw for some men.
Yeah. Why else would anyone go to this arid wasteland that God himself doesn't want anyone to live in, right?
The hotels will tell you it's Cirque du Soleil you go for, or to hit it big on the roulette wheel. But, you know, the house always wins. So those really aren't sufficient reasons. But, yeah, you watch this because you like these actors, and they are good.
They are good.
I loved Morgan Freeman's outfit, his jacket that he wore to Las Vegas. I mean, it was hilarious.
Yeah, he was great. And I think he was, as far as the CAC, I think the main actors are all pretty much, like, I think Michael Douglas was 69, and his character, I believe, was 69, because he mentioned at some point he was just about to turn 70. Kevin Kline is probably a little younger than his character. I think it's 66. Morgan Freeman, probably a little older.
And did you see who did the music?
Mm-mm, no, I did not. I did not stay to see the credits for the music. Who did it?
Okay, so I tend to always want to know who did the music. And in this case, I wasn't offended by the music. It didn't take me out of the movie. Not that I was super into the movie, but it's Mark Mothersbaugh of Whippet Devo fame. Can you believe it?
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, because he's done most every Wes Anderson film, which kind of makes sense. But yeah, sometimes I'll see him on like random, you know, usually like, oh, Elfman must have been busy. So they get, you know. But I've seen him do a lot. He's very versatile. But no, I never would have guessed that. But I am familiar with him doing, he'll occasionally do something that's like, wow, that is so not Devo. Interesting. Very interesting. No, I wish I had known that.
Whereas I thought maybe using Whip It, or We Are Not Men would be actually a good tune for these guys to be half sung.
There was the drag queen scene that would have, you know, We Are Not Men would have worked.
Oh, that was a great scene.
Yeah. Although they are men. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, that was a good scene. I don't know. I felt like I...
Anything else in the craw vein?
Yes. Well, as you know, I am not a fan of this particular approach. I do not like the slow walk. So many films we've reviewed have the slow walk, and of course they do the slow walk in this. You know, that point where clearly the director's out of ideas and just needs to assert some sort of drama where there is none or something. So they do the slow walk. There's also the head-scratching bikini contest that was kind of offensive, I feel like, because I scored so low. So there was that. Yeah, and I guess just the general craw, as we had discussed, just the fact that it was afraid to kind of really go where it could have gone. And I think, like when you were saying, sort of an older hangover kind of had that vibe. Maybe that's what they were going. It just didn't seem, And I also thought that Mary Steenburgen was kind of wasted.
She was just a plot point.
Yeah, exactly. She seemed to even know that.
Dangling participle out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. and she's very good. She's always super good. What really stuck to me is, okay, we know Robert De Niro's character is going back and he's more open-minded than he arrived. We know, am I giving away the plot? I shouldn't do that. One of the things, the craw got me was, what is Sam going back to? It was established he hated that retirement community in Florida. And his wife wanted him to go and perk himself up and become the man he used to be. But I still can't see him going back to that life.
Okay, that is a craw, a huge craw point that I forgot about. Just, yeah, so is it Sam, did you say? Sorry, Kevin Kline's character? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's given this sort of sexual blank check, right, from his wife. And, you know, as I see that, it's like, okay, that's interesting. I could see, you know, he was intrigued by that as one would, right? But he went all in. For me, for instance, I would be like, oh, this kind of ups the electricity a little bit, right? Because you're like, let's see what might happen.
I have permission.
Right. Let's see what might happen. But he was just, from the get-go, on the prowl, like actively hunting for some conquest. And when he ultimately does find someone, again, I could see drunken, sloppy kissing, right? Before you have that kind of, wait a second, this isn't right. But he's just about ready to complete the deal. And then he's like, oh, wait, I'm married to someone who I love and I want, you know, who I tell everything to. And that's great. And then he's like, oh, but before you go, you know, what about a blowjob or, you know, whatever. Again, I don't know if that's ruining anything. But to me, I'm like, okay, that went way too far, you know, for the dynamic of this film.
Right, for the dynamic of this film, but probably not far enough for what would have actually occurred.
Perhaps, I don't know. I still feel like, I don't know.
I mean, given their age, maybe he just decide why.
Oh, no, well, there's that point. Not only him, you know, having a dalliance, but also with someone who could be his granddaughter. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was kind of icky.
Kind of icky. How about the possibly upsetting criteria, if that isn't enough?
Right, if that wasn't enough. I think maybe the only thing there's, you know, at the core of the movie is, you know, De Niro's character being widowed. So there is that sadness, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd say there wasn't a lot. That's all I could really think of. Because again, it's not a film that really is digging too deeply.
No, but ladies, if your man is going off to Vegas with a pack of wolves, that could be triggering.
Yes, exactly.
Or other way around, gents. If it's a bunch of ladies going off to Vegas for some bachelorette party, things will happen. Hence that famous line, what happens in Vegas?
Stays in Las Vegas.
Stays in Las Vegas, and that's the last of that Vegas. Yeah, so I guess that's Las Vegas.
I guess that's Las Vegas, yeah.
And it's fine. It's fine.
It's okay. In terms of possibly upsetting also, just have to say, both my parents died in Las Vegas. So when I just see a lot of the signs and all that. Oh, I guess there's a scene where they're on top of the Stratosphere Hotel on a roller coaster. So I was in that position, and that actually made my chest tighten up when I saw that. So be warned.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Also, if you have a gambling problem.
Yes.
Don't let Morgan Freeman's ability to win at blackjack make you think you can.
Exactly.
It's a movie.
It's a movie starring Morgan Freeman.
So that's it for Las Vegas. Thank you guys for tuning in once again.
Thank you so much.
And I'm Anna Nicholas.
And I am Dale Basie.
You are.
I am.
And we are uncertain about a lot of things.
But not about why we're here.
No.
And the horse always wins, if I was going to summarize all your best lines.
I guess as long as they're not racing, then the horse does always
win. True. That's true. Naysayer.
Till next time.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. Adioski.
Mwah.
Mwah.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Uncertain.
Do you feel lucky?
Come on up and see me sometime.